Very good afternoon to you. This is Pastor Andrew from the Donington Evangelical Church Vestry. I'm sitting here because we have had a problem with recording the ministry this morning. So I'm sitting here this afternoon giving you the highlights for you. This morning we were looking at Jonah chapter 2. Let me read it to you. Chapter 1 verse 17 says, "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought me my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, O Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Amen. So, the reason why we are looking at Jonah is because God is and remains a God of compassion, a God of mercy. And because he's unchanging, we believe that we can access something of his compassion for our time of need. Jonah is a disobedient servant. He's a disobedient prophet of God. That is, he's asked to prophesy to a nation and he basically refuses. In military terms, that would be desertion. And there are great penalties for the soldier who disobeys orders and deserts his post. He's usually executed. In Jonah's case, he is thrown out into the sea. Jonah 2 is about what happens next. And I've put two titles on this. One is the whale and the other one is prayer. The whale and prayer. So chapter 1 verse 17 says, "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." And it all comes across as a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? That a man can be thrown into the sea and just at the right time, a fish pops up that swallows him but does not eat him or consume him. We're left asking, is this a real life account or is it just some sort of myth? Please keep the following in mind. Number one, it's not a whale, it is a large fish. So it could be a whale, but not necessarily. Number two is there are accounts in history and even in contemporary life about large fish eating human beings. Though they are usually coughed up pretty quickly after a few seconds or a few minutes. The Bible is not saying that men fall into the Mediterranean and are rescued by large fish every day. But we are saying that on this one occasion, this is precisely what God did. I think the final thing to note is the kind of God we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a weak, pathetic, helpless God, or a bored God who abandoned his creation. We are presented with a God who is powerful and one who rules the world that he has created. So if he needs to corner a person, he uses his creation, he uses the winds. And if he needs to preserve a person, then he will send his fish. And the question is, can a creator adjust something that they have created? For instance, Alexander Graham Bell invented the first telephone. Could Bell take up his telephone and tweak it or adjust it in some way? Is he allowed to do this? And then from that, then, can Almighty God suspend the digestive processes of a fish that he has created? Not just creating the fish, but also the digestive process. We're encouraged to believe, aren't we, that the laws of nature cannot be adjusted or amended. And we would reply, who says? Psalm 115, our God is in heaven, he does as he pleases. He does as he wants. We cannot get him to do anything. If he wants to save a person, he will. And he does here out of love. So that's about the fish. And then we move on to the prayer. And we noted that this prayer does not have to be included in the book of Jonah. That is, there are many prayers in the Bible that are not recorded, but this one is. And I believe it's because it's a prayer that can be used and adjusted as we come before the Lord. Of course, there's a difference between Jonah in the Old Testament and his situation. His situation is not our situation. It's unlikely that any of us are going to be tossed into the Mediterranean. But notice there is overlap. So perhaps you're listening here this afternoon and you may face dangerous situations in the future. You may be facing dangerous situations now. Physical danger, emotional danger, spiritual danger. You see, even if you're here and you're not following Christ, by definition, you are in danger. You're in danger from the justice of God. And you need to know that. Because where there is danger, there's also going to be help. The prayer of Jonah, a bit like our prayers, are not neat and tidy. There aren't headings and subsections for us. Sometimes the points tend to repeat itself. But there's three headings, I think, that I'd like to look at. One is death, one is calling, and one is rededication. So let's think about death, really. Chapter 2. Verse 3, you hurled me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Verse 4, I have been banished from your sight. Verse 5, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. You know, drowning is a terrible way to die, isn't it? Because you're aware and you're conscious of that. Jonah is drowning. He seems to be aware that he's about to die. And so his response is verse 2. In my distress, I called out to the Lord. He's distressed. He's extremely upset. He's in extreme worry and sadness and pain. And notice, he never blames God for this. Although he says that God, in verse 3, God hurled him into the sea. There is no blaming of God. He's not saying that God is too harsh or the punishment doesn't fit the crime. He is willing to accept that. So, who are the people who will call on God? It's often those who realize that they're in danger. As people, we can be blind to the danger that we face or the danger that we're in. And the prayer really is for the Lord to open our eyes. Let's think about calling. He calls out, doesn't he? In verse 2, in my distress I called to the Lord. Verse 2, I called for help. Yeah. Verse 7, my prayer rose to you. Here's a person who's emptied of all pride and self-sufficiency. He cannot save himself. And if he's going to live, he knows he needs God's help. He believes that God can deliver, that God is merciful. He remembers the temple, the place of sacrifice and the mercy of God on display every day. And he believes that God can help. The sign that you recognize you're in spiritual danger is your willingness to call out to God for help. Jonah calls, does God hear? Well, verse 2. I called for help and you listened to my cry. And so Jonah gets the mercy that he needs and becomes a sort of dead man walking, if you like. So it's the language is that of the grave. Verse 2, from the depths of the grave I came. I was in the pit. That sort of thing. Virtually, I was virtually dead. I was in the grave and God gave me life. And then we had rededication. Rededication, that was verse 8 and 9. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So he says, with regards to sin, he's going to acknowledge his sin. And then there's going to be thanksgiving and worship, song and sacrifice. He speaks about vows, doesn't he? Promises he's going to make. That he, in the future he will honor God. And he does promise to serve him. And that is an important point, which is Jonah is saved to serve. As Christians, we are saved to serve. In some way, we're called to serve. Verse 9. Salvation comes from the Lord. Not from ourselves. Not from the false gods. But from Yahweh himself. If we're looking to be rescued by God. If we're looking for relief from our disobedience and our rebellion. Then we can call on God. But we need to know rescue comes from him alone. So what do we learn about this passage? Let's think about God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and ourselves. What do we learn about the Father? I learn here that the Father is powerful. He can direct creation for his purposes. I learned number two that he disciplines. If he loves you, he's going to discipline you. Which father or mother does not discipline their child? Answer, the person who doesn't love them. And then we've got ourselves. What do we learn about ourselves? We are weak. There's danger all around. We need to call out to him. And then finally, most importantly, the Lord Jesus. So look up Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, that's going to speak about the teachers of the law confronting the Lord Jesus himself. And what do they say? Matthew 12 verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." So they're saying to him, "Do something to prove that God is with you and God is for you. Do something to prove that you are the Messiah." Verse 39. "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So, how do we know that God was with Jonah? That God was eventually pleased with him? He preserves his life from the grave. He is the as good as dead man who is now walking. How do we know that God is with the Lord Jesus? He will be in the grave like Moses for 3 days, like Jonah for 3 days, and then he will be raised. Because the God of Jesus is the God of Jonah. So if you like, Jonah is a picture, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the reality. Jonah is the person who almost died and that then walked. The Lord Jesus is the one who really and truly died, but then walked because he was raised from the dead. There is controversy about the timing of the burial of the Lord Jesus, how long he was in the grave for. Disagreement, honest disagreement from godly people. So some people, because of the timing, will date the death of the Lord Jesus on a Friday, but some are beginning to date it on a Wednesday and even a Thursday. And there's much to be learnt from that. But don't miss the main point, and that is the effect of Jesus' resurrection. Because it is the raising of the dead man walking, the raising of the Lord Jesus, through which millions will become dead men walking. Not dead men staying dead, but dead men walking. So we have to remember, don't we, that Jonah, after the fish spat him out, lived for a period of time, but then would have died. The difference is the Lord Jesus, he is still alive. So the Lord Jesus died, the Lord Jesus lived, and those who are united to him will live forever. And that is potential good news. But if you unite yourself to God, you can have the freedom and the life that you need. But you need to be united to Christ. How do I do that? Well, you've got to come to faith, haven't you? You've got to admit that you are rebellious, and you deserve punishment, and you've got to ask God. You've got to believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, that God has raised him from the dead, and then you need to dedicate your life to him. Commit your rest to him. And we left the sermon this morning with a challenge. And it's a challenge to all of us who are listening. Am I united to Christ? Not do I sympathize with Christ? Do I know bits of information about Christ? Am I united to Christ? I believe that's what we need to do if we're to have the freedom and the deliverance that Jonah enjoyed. I leave that with you, praying that the Lord would use this talk for his glory. A good afternoon to everyone. God bless you.